The Gemara in Avodah Zarah notes that Shesh es alofim habishona, the Dharma. The world, the Gemara in Daftea says, the world's history will be 6,000 years. 2,000 years are the 2,000 years of Tohu, that are the 2,000 years of chaos. And they end on Avraham Avinu ve'nefesh asher roshel b'choron, when Avraham Avinu starts to bring people to the realization that there is a God. And you start then the 2,000 years of Torah. Now, the 2,000 years of Torah, when do they end? They end in the year 240, the Common Era, right? That's the year 2,000 years, according to our tradition. Now, what happens then? What's the demarcation point of the end of the 2,000 years of Torah? I think it's apparently, and it's obvious, that's the Chasimas HaMishnah. That's when the Mishnah comes to a conclusion. Rabbi, in the year 220, whatever that time was, he closes the Mishnah, and from then on, you don't have any more Tanoim. Nobody can argue or darshan himself the Psukim, and he becomes the Amoraic era. So that's the end of Alpaim Shnos Torah. Up to then, Torah was still information. And the Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that then starts the 2,000 years of the coming of Mashiach. And the Gemara says that even though you already wasted many years passed by without Mashiach coming, the Gemara says we are in the process. What happened? What is the defining or the first event that happens in Jewish history that we can look at as the beginning of the 2,000 years of Mashiach? If you look in history, and I think it's very clear, what happens is something called Yeridas Rav Lebovel. Rav was in the Beis Medrash of Rebbe, at the Chasimas HaMishnah. Rav goes to Bovel to open the academies in Bovel. The beginning of the kernel of Talmud Bavli. This is, l'chora, if you look at the calendar, the beginning of Yemoi Samashiach. And the question is, Yemoi Samashiach, what does he have to do with the beginning of Talmud Bavli? Everything else, by Alpaim, the 2,000 years of Torah, it's very clear why did they start and how do they end. They start with the beginning of the realization of God, and Nefesh Asher Osu Bechoron. It ends on Rebbe, actually concludes the Mishnah, and closes the time that you could darshan psukim. That makes sense. The question is, how do you move forward that Yemoi Samashiach starts with the establishment of the Bavli? That's question number one. Question number two, if you look at the Migdal of Bavel, we know the Dor HaPaloga, the generation of the tower. So, the Psukim quote, right, Vayibe Nosa Mikedem, Vayoymur Yishereyu, Halva Nilbena Leveni, Venisrefa Lisrefa, Vetehila Hema Levena Leven, Vechema Yel Nechomer, Vayoymer Halva Lano Niv Deil, Migdal Veroisha Bashamayim. They say, let's go and build a tower which will reach heaven. Reb Tzadok quotes from Dari that this tower, which is an earthly construction, that they wanted to reach Shomayim, becomes the prototype of the Mishkan. Because the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash, it's a physical building that reaches heaven. The Gemara says that, right? The Gemara in Baba Basra writes that if you want to see a place where heaven and earth meet, and he showed, the Gemara says, Rav Bar Chana showed, that's the Beis HaMikdash. So the first attempt to create that is Migdal Bavel. Vayered Hashem liros yisayir v'samigdal asher banu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, hey, I'm echad v'so afa achas lekulam. These people are talking, they speak one language. This is what made them, when it allowed them, enabled them to build a Migdal. I will not allow them to continue and to achieve what they're planning to do. Hova nerda shvenov l'sham sposom. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to go down and mix their languages. Asher lo yishmu ish sfas reyu. That one won't be able to understand the next. And Rashi says, one would ask for a tool, for a hammer, and would get a nail instead. or get very upset and kill the person who gave him a nail. Vayafetzoyse misham al pnei chol oretz, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spread them al pnei chol oretz, vayivdo vayachdu lo livnei yisair, and they stopped building it. Al ken korosh shma bovel. And that's why the name of that place is called Bovel, ki sham balal Hashem sfat kol aretz, because Bovel comes with the Loshon Balal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu confused Loshon kol aretz. Says the Arizal, this is the Bovel, which starts Tal, which is the beginning of Torah Shebal Peh. These nefoshes, which built the tower and weren't able, the tikkun for Migdal Bovel is Torah Shebal Peh, which is in Bovel. And the obvious question is, Torah Shebal Peh is in Bovel? Why is Torah Shebal Peh in Bovel? I mean, Torah Shebal Peh was more in Eretz Yisrael. If you look at the Mishnah, it was done in Eretz Yisrael. Talmud Yerushalm was done in Eretz Yisrael. So the Tzaddik wants to say that perhaps Torah Shebal Peh starts in Bovel by Ezra and ends in Bovel with the Talmud Bavli. But from the Ari's Mashba that Eretz Shinar, Bovel, is the kernel and beginning of Torah Shebal Peh, because the representation and the tikkun of the Migdal is actually Talmud Bavli, which would make sense. Yemoi Samashiach is Talmud Bavli, and l'chora this is the first attempt of building a Beis HaMikdash, something that was the Mishkan, was a Binyan V'roisha B'Shamayma, was Migdal Bovel. So Migdal Bovel, also the Tikkun, is Talmud Bavli. The question is, why Talmud Bavli, nothing else? And the question is, how is this a Tikkun on the Migdal? They were going to build a tower to fight with God, and the tikkun for that is actually Talmud Bavli. How is that a tikkun? So the two questions is, the Moshe HaMashiach starts with Talmud Bavli. Why does the Bavli start in Moshe HaMashiach? And why and how is it a tikkun on Migdal Bovel? And the third question I want to ask is the following. It's a Gemara that never made sense to me. The Gemara quotes the story that everybody knows about Kamtzet Bar Kamtzah. So Kamtzet Bar Kamtzah, they had the story, and Bar Kamtzah goes, and he decides to telltale, to go to the Roman government and to say that the Jews had rebelled. And the Romans tried the Jews to see if they were rebelling or not, and they sent them a korban, they sent them a sacrifice. And the korban became, he went ahead and he passed, he made a mum, he made a damage, a blemish on the korban that it couldn't be used. Machloket in the Gemara, the two Lashonot, either it was on the eye or on the lip, right? Which makes a lot of sense, right? By the way, you should know why, because the Chazal are trying to tell you that the story of the Churban is a story that comes from very far before, from the story of the Meraglim. And the issue of the Meraglim is that they decided to say something that they didn't see. So Chazal are saying, what's the issue? Is the issue the eye, or is the issue the lips? That's what they did. Okay. So the Gemara tells the following. Says the Gemara like this. Sovu Rabbonan Lemikrave. The Chachomim at that time decided to bring the korban. Maritzchir says, you're allowed to transgress a prohibition, Mishlum Shloim Malchus. They realized that the Romans were testing them. So they said, you know something, Nish Gifela, who will bring a korban that's possible. Mishlum Shloim Malchus. Omalu Rab Zchari ben Avkulas. Rab Zchari ben Avkulas tells them the following. Yoimur bale mumin krevim. If you do that, the people are going to say, you know something? You're allowed to bring a korban with a blemish. So he stopped them. Legabi Mizbeach. Sovur lemiktali. So they said, okay, let's kill Bar Kamtza to make sure that he doesn't go back to the Romans. The Lolizer Velema, that you should not go back and tell the Romans. Omalu Rab Zchari. Rab Zchari ben Avkulas said, people are going to say that if you go ahead and you make a moon, if you make a blemish on a korban, you get killed. And that's not right. Again, it was something, says the Maritz Chius, very, very controversial. Because technically, Bar Kamtza was a roidev. He was coming to get the Jews, meaning he was a danger for the Jewish nation. Rav Zchari ben Avkulas says, you know something, we shouldn't kill him. Because if we kill him, it's going to come out that if you put a blemish on the korban, you get killed. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, this Rabbi Yochanan says, "Am sanusu shlab zchare ben avkulas." The anova the humbleness. We have to see the, why this is called humbleness. Of Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas, echriveis beiseinu. This is what destroyed the Beis Hamikdash. Vesorfeis echaleinu, and you burnt the echal. Viglisonu mearseinu, and this is what brought us the galus. So the Gemara seems to imply that if we had get away to kill Bar Kamtza, or to accept a korban balmum, the korban wouldn't happen. And the obvious question, second, we know the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, the Gemara Numa says, because of Sinas Chinam. Poor Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas, and now we are blaming the entire Churban on Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas. So the Marsho asks the question. The Marsho asks, what? You're telling me that if Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas would have taken a stand and killed the guy, Bar Kamtza, the Beis Hamikdash should not be destroyed? One second. That's not all we know. So he says, perhaps the Klal Yisrael would have been sent away from Eretz Yisrael, but the Romans would keep the Beis Hamikdash as a Roman pagan temple. In other words, they would say, okay, if you can't bring korbanos, we bring korbanos to every deity in the world, let's bring a korban to God also. But first of all, the Lashon is so schwer. The Lashon here is, is mashma that the giglisonu lebein haumas, we were sent to the goyim, is because of Zecharia ben Avkulas. I always think, imagine, the whole churban, we're blaming on one person? One bad decision and everything is comes from it? So the Maral says, no, clearly the Bisa, the churban was coming anyway. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the churban to come through something. It's called Anova. Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas was humble, because he got some kind of an inspiration from God to do nothing, because he felt that God wanted nothing to be done. So in other words, it's not that this was called, what caused the Churban. This is how the Churban came about. The Churban came about through Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas. Very unfortunate decision. And the question that I always had on this Maral, it doesn't make any sense. Because Bishlama, the story comes through Kamtza Bar Kamtza. That's not the reason for the Churban, but that's how it comes about. Why? Because Kamtza Bar Kamtza is an ultimate story of Sinas Chinam, two people who couldn't talk to each other, which was very endemic of Bai Sheini. People didn't talk to each other. So the Churban comes about, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Reb Chaim Shmulevitz always says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes in a way to remind us of the Chet. So this reminded us of the Chet. Makes sense. But the story of Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas, of this unfortunate decision, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, says the Maral, that's why it's called Anova. He was humble, because even though he thought he should have done something else, he felt that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the Churban, and it should come through this unfortunate decision. What's the message here? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Churban to come through the hands of Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas? By this unfortunate decision of this quote-unquote Chumrah, or whatever. If you look at the Tosefta in Shabbos, the Tosefta in Shabbos quotes Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas, Machloik has been shy, but we see what you do when you have a table, when you have bones after eating, what you do with the table. Do you throw the bones out? Do you move the table? So Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas says, I don't want to get into Machloikis, I stay away. I don't need by a table on Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi says, that kind of anova, Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas, he sheikhrivas beiseinu. This is the Churban. So Nebuch, Rav Zecharia ben Avkulas, every time he says something, they're going to remind him, you know, because of you, the Churban happened. And like, imagine Rabbi Yossi, who knows, Rabbi Yossi is much later, right? He's saying, yeah, this kind of behavior, this will destroy the Beis Hamikdash. Why the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's the kesher to the Avera? And I think the message is so important to us. And I'm going to mention you Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, which I think is in the must, is Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. Because Rav Chaim Shmulevitz comes to explain to us what's the meaning of a life. We always think to ourselves, what is a meaningful life? What defines a meaningful life? We are here, and we have to decide what's the sense of life, what's the sense of a meaningful life? Rav Chaim Shmulevitz says something that I think it's a must for everyone to know. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitt says the Gemara talks about the Gemara in the Dorm, the four people who are deemed, they're considered dead. Chashuvim kemeis. A mitzoira, somebody who has leprosy, who has tzaras. People, someone who doesn't have children. A blind person and a poor person. He goes to explain in a second. Why does a mitzoira have the deen? Why does a mitzoira is considered somebody dead? Why? Because of the suffering? From Eov, we see the story of Eov. He was the person who symbolizes suffering. And the Gemara still says that the person who was at that time was Bilam, what was killed, dying of Bilam was for a punishment greater than the suffering of Eov. So no suffering compares to death. So why is the suffering, or by the way, why leprosy is such a suffering? I don't even know. Who says that they suffered? Why is leprosy choshuv kemeis? So Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz quotes the following. The Gemara brings a raya that somebody who's a poor person is deemed dead, is deemed a mace, from Doson Vaviram. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, ki meisu kol anoshim mevakshev nafshecha. Everybody who was looking for you died. And Doson Vaviram is still alive, right? In Mitzrayim. So you see that they became poor. Rashi quotes it then in Chumash. So the Ran asks the obvious question. Maybe they became blind. No, I'm sorry. Maybe they became blind. They didn't. Hayinei anoshim te'enit inokir. Blind they didn't become. But maybe they became a tzoroin. Maybe they got tzaras. That's why they became kemes. How do you know they became poor? They lost their money. So the Ran answers, no. Because it says, by the story of Doson Vaviram, in Parshas Korach, it says, Bekerev Yisrael. The Doson Vaviram were amidst the community, and therefore they made trouble. So if they had Saras, they couldn't be amidst the community. And for sure they didn't do tshuva, but Doson Vaviram, the same Doson Vaviram. So says that the Ran, 1 second, but you know that by Matan Torah, everybody became healed. So it's possible that they were Mitzroim in Mitzrayim, that's why they're called dead people, by Moshe. But by Matan Torah, they became healed, and that's why they were Bekerev Kol Yisrael. So says the Ran, no. Because the Egel, when the Egel, people did the Egel, all the sicknesses that were cured by Matan Torah came back. So had they had Saras in Mitzrayim, they would have been healed by Matan Torah, but they would get sick again by the Egel. And since it says Bekerev Yisrael, must be that that's not the case. So the Maritz Chius, today is the day of the Maritz Chius. The Maritz Chius asked the question, again an obvious question. We know the Mishnah says that the Negoim before Matan Torah are Nametame. So it's possible that's Bekerev Kol Yisrael, because the Negoim before Matan Torah are Nametame. So what's the Raya that there was? Maybe the reason why they are deemed dead, Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki meisu kol anoshim mevakshim nafshecha, all the people looking for you died, is because they got tzaras. Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, he understands. Do you know why it can't be tzaras? Precisely because there is no deemed tzaras before Matan Torah. The reason somebody has a tzaras is deemed dead is because Vadad Yeshev Michutz Lamachne Moishovi. If you sit by yourself, a life on your own by yourself is not a life. The reason why tzaras, somebody who has tzaras, is not because of the suffering, it's not because of the sickness, it's not because of the disease. It is because he has to sit alone. A meaningful life is a life that you impact others, that you reach out to others. If you can't reach out to others, it's not a life. A life of us individually, a self-centered life, means nothing. The reason why Metzora is deemed dead is because Badad Yeshev Michutz Lamachne Moishovi. So therefore, it makes sense. Since before Matan Torah, there was no deemed tzaras, they would not be dead. Even if they were tzaras, even they had leprosy. That didn't make them dead. Must be because you have no money. If you have no money, that you constantly just worried about yourself, Nebuch, that you can't worry about the others, that's why you're dead. Says Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that's why a blind person is deemed dead. It's against the Gemara Baba Kama. The Gemara Baba Kama says that if you go ahead and you make somebody deaf, if you deafen somebody, you pay him the entire value. You don't pay just for how much hearing is worth, you pay how much the person is worth. Because somebody who's deaf is not a person. You took more his value. One second. We are telling you, a cheresh is not kemes. The only kemes is a suma. If you blind somebody, chas v'sholom, you pay for the value of the eyes. You don't pay for the value of the person. So one second. If you go ahead and you blind somebody, you don't pay his value by this chosh of kemes. However, if you go ahead and you make somebody deaf, you pay the value, but the deaf person is not chosh of kemes. Why not? Says Rabbi Chaim, because to connect to others, to connect through hearing is great, but connecting through seeing is a much deeper connection. He says, what's the raya? It says by Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went out, Vayere be'echov, right? He saw his brothers, and we saw his brothers, that's what he felt. You need to see the brothers. The Sipurnu says that why Yaakov Avinu had to touch Menashe and Ephraim? Because Eini Yisrael Koivdu Mizokin. And therefore, you're right. The value is bigger by the hearing, and therefore, if you can't hear, you pay the value of the person. The sight, the sense of sight might be less valuable, but it has one thing that allows you to connect to somebody else. And that's the meaning of life, a life beyond yourself. And I always think to myself, why is seeing better than hearing? Because hearing, somebody has to be talking to you. Somebody is actually getting to you. Seeing allows you to see somebody who's actually not screaming yet. You could connect to somebody who's not pleading for your help. You measure your life in how much it impacts others. Irrespective of the other person is coming to you, you take the initiative. And therefore, the eyes, the sight allows you to take and have a meaningful life. A person who has no sight is a person who has no life. That's why he's deemed dead. And the same thing, a person who has no children. So says Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, you measure a person. A life of a person is only meaningful because it can impact others. Because your actions should always be in not what how they relate to you, but how they relate to others. This became for me very real in halacha. I just had a situation that was a family that they were debating if to put somebody into a respirator. And the doctor told the person, if you go into a respirator, the person that was very much older, she won't be able to come back. That person won't be able to come back, which means the quality of life is terrible, meaning the person will be sedated, will be in half like dead. So what's the purpose of doing this? So that person went, asked Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael said, you have to do it. Given the circumstances, you have to put in a respirator. So then I was called to explain to the doctor, which is a non-religious guy, meaning what's the purpose of putting somebody on the respirator? The person cannot enjoy life. Just the opposite. You do that, the person will go into a coma, and that's it. She'll never come out of this. What's the purpose of it? So how you explain the doctor? Because the doctor feels, okay, I'm working now something that makes actually no sense. And what I thought is exactly this idea of Rav Chaim Shmulevitz. So I told the doctor, I said, listen, our view of life is not what you do for yourself. You're right, for yourself, life might not mean anything because now to be sedated and you can't do anything, what's the purpose of life? But your life is measured in your impact on others. And even the person is sedated can have impact on others. And the mission is not finished yet. Now remember, the doctor comes to me and says, you know something, this is amazing. He says, let me tell you a story, this guy, the doctor tells me. He had a story of a lady who had Alzheimer's for the past 13 years. And that person was on the respirator and the family, non-Jewish, wanted to keep her alive. And for 13 years, but she didn't respond. She was completely out, gone. But he said the 13 years since he was a doctor, every Friday, the family and all the children would get together. And because of that person, she was connected, the entire family. She was a matriarch during when she was well. She continued being a matriarch after she wasn't well. She says, you see that her mission continued beyond her life. That is the definition of life. The definition of life is how it means to others. It's so much so that the Truma Sakri in his Akdoma, which is at the end of the Sefer, quotes the Mari Muscato. The Mari Muscato says, it's a Kabbalah Biyodoi, that if somebody would go to Olam Haba, and would get to see Olam Haba, He would not be able to have any pleasure and enjoyment until he shares with somebody else. Because life is only as it relates to somebody else. If you can't relate to somebody else, it doesn't have life. This is the meaning of a meaningful life. And I think this is what the Gemara is telling us. The Gemara of the story of the Churban tells you. You think that Sinas Chinam is Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. I think that that's missing half of the story. The Gemara says that when Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, when Bar Kamtza was throwing Kamtza out of the party, he says, Mideshosku Lerabonan, from the fact that people are here and everybody's quiet, Shmamino Nichalu. You see, they don't care. This is Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam is you look at yourself and say, what does it have to do with me? These guys are having a fight. Why should I get into this? Let me keep for myself. Shma mino mideshosku lerabonon, shma mino nichaleu. This is what Sinas Chinam is all about. Sinas Chinam is not when we actively don't like somebody. We actively claim machloikas. We give tzedakah. That's all nice, but that's not. Sinas Chinam is much deeper. And the reason says the Maharal, because Bais, if you look at Bais Sheni, Bais Sheni are people, why were we Zoicha? We didn't have Bais Rishon, we didn't have Ashros Ashchina, there was nothing. There was only one thing, there was no Shchina, there were no miracles in Bais Sheni. What's so good about Bais Sheni? Says the Maharal, because Bais Sheni was one place that all the Jews got together and we became one collective nation. That Ichud allows us a portal to Shamayim. Migdal Bovel, which was the portal to the Shamayim. Migdal Veroisho Bashamayim. They wanted to reach heaven. And says Dari, this is the prototype of the Beis HaMikdash. You know why? Because they were Sofa Achas Udvorim Achodim. They were together. They cared for each other. They talked the same language. This is the idea of the Beis HaMikdash. So the idea is that if you see something and you just look at your own Arba Am and says, I don't care, my life, I take care of myself. If you take care of yourself, you have no life and you can never reach Ruchnius. Shma mino bideshosku lerabonan. That's the story of Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas. Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas, he says, why should I get into machloikas? I should kill the guy. Yes, if you look at your own, like that's what the Gemara says, if you look, they're killing Bar Kamtza. Is the same story of mixing, taking the bones out of a table on Shabbos. You could say, I'm machmir, I'm doing it. Why should I get involved? But if you realize that's the Churban is when you look at your own life. Here is Klal Yisrael. You're saving Klal Yisrael. You're helping other people. You're right, for your own Chumrah, you could take your Chumrah, that why should I kill a Korban? I'll be a machmir. I don't do anything. Shevel Taise Odif. This is the Churban. The Churban is on the Knei measure. The measurement is yourself, not beyond yourself. Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas, this passivity, the idea of not taking a stand as a Chumrah, is looking at yourself and not projecting into others. This is the ultimate, Mideshosku Lerabonan Shmamino Nichaleu. Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas is blamed to the Churban. Every time Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas says, this, what he did, is what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. Because this is what Sinas Chinam is about. Sinas Chinam is seeing ourselves as individuals, not looking at the big picture. Rabbi said, this answers the end of the Gemara. The Gemara says like this. Again, the Gemara constantly tells you different stories about the Churban. And the last story of the Churban is the following. Says the following, the Gemara. Omar Rav, may dichtivi oshku geveru beiso vishu nachlosu masi be'adam echad. There was a story of a person, Shenosan Esher Beshes Rabbi. He had a teacher who taught him how to become a carpenter. Michael has the idea of the carpenter. We talk about the carpenter. Why the carpenter? But he saw the carpenter and he decided he liked his wife and he says, okay, I want to marry his wife. Veshulia de Nagrehave, and he was actually a carpenter. Now, you could assume why this kind of vicarious adultery is a carpenter. Okay. One time the rabbi, the teacher, needed to borrow money. So the student says, okay, send your wife and I'll send the money with her. Velvena, Shigir Ishto Etzloi, so he sent the wife, Shoa Shloisha Yomim, he kept the wife for 3 days, Uba Etzloi, and then she came back. Omar Lo Ishto Shishigarti Lecha Echani, so he goes to the student, I sent you my wife, where is she? Omar Lo Yeniptarti Alta, I sent her away. Veshamati Shati Noikus Disalub, I heard that people were playing with her. Omar Lo Maese, so the Rabbi, the teacher, asks the student, what should I do? Omar lo, if you listen to my advice, gersha, be megarisha, send her away. Omar lo, so the teacher tells the student, it's an expensive proposition. She didn't do anything wrong, you have to be a big suva. Omar lo, ani alvecha, so that student, okay, says, okay, I will lend you the money. Vitelak subos, omar lo vigirsha, so that's why he went ahead, he divorced, the student went and got married to her. Even she gives man when he came the time to pay and he didn't have to pay. The student tells the teacher, okay, so you become, you work for me to pay for the loan. Now his ex-wife and his student were sitting and eating. And he would serve them, the wife that he lost. He would cry. And this was the time that God said, that is it. It's done. I'm destroying the Beis HaMikdash. What does this story have to do with Tzinas Chinam? What the story has to do with anything? That this is the Gmar Din, is this carpenter who had the student decided to bamboozle him and take his wife. Says the Yaiv is something beautiful. The student didn't do any Avera. He just bamboozled the Rabbi to do lemachmir, a chumra, to get his wife. So he found the way to get the wife with a hechsher. He never fought with his rabbi's wife. He just found a way to get him out. But people saw it and they didn't say anything. People went to the chuppah and they were fine. It's somebody else's. If you could see this and not do something, even though there's no avera, but you see somebody suffering, if it would have been you, we would have not done this. This is Tzinas Chinam, and this is the Churban. The Churban is on this, that if you can get away on allowing these things to happen, this is where you see yourself and people come in, they join the Chasana. There was a nice Chasana, and nobody did anything. This is the Churban. This is why the Migdal Bovel, Talmud Bavli, is the tikkun to Migdal Bovel. Migdal Bovel, they were together because they spoke Sofachas. The second they didn't speak Sof Achas, what happens? HaKadosh Baruch Hu bola les leshoinam lo ishmu ish esfas reyu. If we didn't talk the same language, now I hate you. I only like you if you fit my agenda. And Migdal Bovel came to a chaos because what happened? Bola les leshoinam velo ishmu ish esfas reyu. They didn't hear somebody else. Talmud Bavli is the tikkun on Migdal Bovel. The Tikkun of Migdal Bovel is that you could be Shomea Sfas Reyu even if you argue. If you look at Talmud Bavli does, the Mishnah is a full of machloikis. What the Talmud does, it creates a conversation with people arguing. Omer lecha Rav Meir. Rav Meir tells Rav Yehuda, I darshan this, and then he has to go back. It's a ping pong. You create a conversation. It's not that you have your dea and the heck with everything else. It's part of a collective conversation. That even though lo yishmu wishes vasreyu, I'm sorry, even though it's not sof achas, you still can get together. Raboisai, this is the tikkun on Migdal Bovel, and specifically the Bavli. Because what the Bavli does, versus the Yerushalmi and any other rabbinic literature, the vast majority of the Bavli is a voice which is called the anonymous voice, is a stoma de Gemara. Is a voice of the collective. It's not an individual, is the collective speaking. And if you know, this voice was transmitted orally through hundreds of years. This is the first Wikipedia that we know. If you know about collective and collaborative writing, which is the Wikipedia that there is learning, that you keep changing and adding and going until comes out something amorphous. And if you ever go into the wiki, you see there were different versions of the wiki. The wiki is growing, right? It's called collaborative learning. The first wiki that we know is Talmud Bavli. Because the Stam, 80% is an anonymous voice that got developed, if you see, through hundreds of years. How do we know? Because today we are finding the earlier versions, the early wikis, all the wikis that were taken away. And you see that this thing morphed and it's a conversation. People didn't look, Talmud Bavli is that you are in a conversation with people even if you don't agree with them. It's all part of a large conversation. There's no monologues, it's all a dialogue. From monologue to dialogue, that's the tikkun of Bais Reini. That's why Moisa Mashiach starts with the conversation of the Bavli. Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda don't argue, each one in his Beis Medrash, and I think this way, that's it. Rav Meir has to give Din V'Cheshbon to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda has to give Din V'Cheshbon to Rav Meir. Who does that? The Bavli. And this creates a conversation. This is the tikkun on Chasinas Chinam. The tikkun of Chasinas Chinam is a Migdal Bavel that works. That for you to work collaboratively to build Migdal V'Roisha B'Shamayma, you don't have to be Sofa Achaz U'Dvorim Achodim. Even is Bolas L'Shoinam, but idea is Ishmu Esvas Reyu. We listen to each other. By listening to each other, we're creating the ultimate Avas Chinam. And I think that this is the message of the Bavli. In life, there are no monologues. We have to realize that we're in conversation with a larger than ourselves. Everything we do has to be always at a cheshbon. How, when, what of an impact would that have? If I buy a car, is it going to make my neighbor feel awkward? I need to always, we have to measure life beyond ourselves. If we do that, we break the self and the ego, which is the ultimate barrier to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to connect with us when we don't have a self and ego. We are not selfish people, but selflessness. The beetle of the self is when we measure our meaningful lives as impact to others, in a conversation with others. We have to turn our lives into great wiki. The great wiki, the paradigm, and the model for it is Talmud Bavli. That's why Chazal say Talmud Bavli is the beginning of Emois HaMashiach. That process will start with Talmud Bavli is the beginning of Emois HaMashiach, and this ought to be the Tikkun HaBayis. That today in him there is no such a thing as the Shosku Lerabonan Shmomina Nichalu. There's no such a thing that we look at ourselves and we don't see the bigger picture. The Bavli is seeing the bigger picture. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow us indeed. We live in a world that, the reason why I'm saying is, we live in a world of politics that people don't talk to each other. Meaning there is the Democrats, the Republicans, and what is good for one, who cares about the other side? If there is anything that we can learn from Talmud Bavli, from our Daf Yomi, is that this is not a cheshbon. Rabbi Yehuda cannot say, I hold what I hold, and Rabbi Meir, Vakasha, it's your problem. He has to give them the cheshbon. Omel Rabbi Yehuda, that's what I think, and that's why Rabbi Meir tells him, and it's a ping pong, it's a conversation. Life is beyond ourselves, and many times, is even though we don't speak the same language, but even though we don't speak the same language, she has to be an idea of Ishmu Ish Svasreyum.